Lineup Logic Podcast, daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate upcoming on FanDuel. I'm your host, Sean Kane, and I am bringing you the Monday breakdown here for the 11-game. I think we've got an 11-gamer here on a Monday night for NBA. really nice stuff. Obviously, yesterday, big day for the Lineup Logic crew. Got a shout-out, Josh Fernandez. Obviously, my right-hand man in all this. And Josh took down over 5K on just $20 worth of single-entry tickets on one lineup. Really proud of him. Really happy for him. It's awesome news. That's what it's all about, man. You know, every once in a while, something good happens, and it couldn't have happened to a better guy. So shout-out to Josh. Congratulations. And he wasn't the only one. There was a couple other big tickets, a couple other big numbers put up by some folks in the Lineup Logic family there. So shout out to Joe Berg and Mike Alexander for running the lineup show on Friday night. There must have been some special sauce cooking there. We're going to try to give you guys a couple shows here before the holidays lineup. And then I'm going to be out of town, so I'm not going to be grinding out podcasts every single day for you guys, but I am going to try to bring you a couple pods here before the break commences, and this is the start of it. So let's go ahead and jump straight into this NBA Monday. All right, first thing, looking at the Jazz at the 76ers. 213 total. This one opened as 7-point favorites. The Sixers at home implied for 109 to 103 for the Jazz here. The only injury news that we were worried about in this one was the possibility that Joel Embiid is going to sit with a sore knee. I don't think he's going to. He said he plans on playing, so we'll see. I mean, it looks like he went through shoot around. He should be okay. So that's kind of what you're keeping your eye on. Obviously, the Utah front court, not quite the same. So certainly an interesting matchup on the Philadelphia side. Utah coming off the back-to-back here. After they were down in Orlando yesterday, flying back up north to Philadelphia for that game. Should be an interesting spot. Cavs, Pistons, 218 total here. This total opened at 215. It's jumped by 3 points. Cavaliers favored by 2.5. That's a pretty tight spread for them to be road favorites, but we saw them in a similarly tight situation against Charlotte get the road win in Charlotte as well. This profile is very similarly, right? Detroit and Charlotte, kind of similar teams. Defensively minded, slower pace, solid rebounding units, trying to play kind of mistake-free basketball. For Detroit, it's worked extremely well. So we'll see how they rack up here. It's certainly a nice fantasy matchup for the Detroit side of things, but definitely going to be an interesting spot to target for DFS. You're going to want exposure here. Only dealing with some possible injuries at the point guard position for Cleveland. Amon Shumpert, Derrick Rose are out, so you're going to see some Jose Calderon there, of course, and probably more LeBron at the point, which just increased LeBron's usage. John Lord day-to-day on the Pistons, so we'll see, how everything looks on the backside of that front court rotation, but you weren't seeing too many minutes from Lure, and it shouldn't affect the starters necessarily that much. Pacers versus the Magic, 220 total in this one. It opened at 222. It's still the highest total on the board, but it has dropped just a touch here in the after opening. Magic are favored by 3.5 right now, but of course, like we said, it opened at 4. It's dropping now. It's 3.5. So the public is kind of split on this one, but they do prefer the under. Both of these teams playing at a very high pace, but kind of were, interestingly enough, shooting at an unsustainable rate. So the offensive production that we saw, the booming Orlando Magic that we saw in the first couple weeks, not sustainable when you're not hitting your shots at the same rate. Makes a lot of good sense. No injuries on the Orlando side of things. On the Indiana side of things, nothing serious that we haven't been dealing with. So we should see the normal rotation of what we've seen from these teams going forward. And there's definitely some nice spots to uh, some nice spots to go to. Moving on in the Eastern Conference, Charlotte will host Minnesota. 214 total. This is a really interesting game to me. Charlotte favored by 2.5 at home, but public likes Charlotte. They played this game in Minnesota, and it was kind of blowout, to be honest with you. It was blowout. Public is kind of split on this one, to be honest with you. A little bit of love for the Wolves, who have been streaking right now. This is an interesting matchup. These two teams, they're hard to get agreed on. They play really well, and then they play really poorly. They play, you know, they've been very relatively inconsistent. I mean, the Wolves drop a back-to-back, or excuse me, on a back-to-back after dropping one to the Pistons last night at the buzzer. I'm sure you've seen that on Twitter, the Jimmy Butler free throw interruption from Reggie Jackson. He eye rolls Reggie Jackson. In an interesting spot. The total's going up just a touch, but not much. You know, I think people like the over here, but it's not really moving. This is an interesting one. This is a really interesting one. We'll have to see how people feel. This should be a tight game, which means you're going to get a lot of starters minutes on the Wolves side. You're going to get a lot of starters minutes on the Charlotte side. So that's a good sign. LA versus New York, 208 total here. This one was 211. It is dropping -2.5. It's lost 2 points there. The Knicks were favored by one at open. Now the Clips are favored. So it's shifted quite a bit there in favor of the Clippers, which, you know, I don't know if I agree. I mean, I think that might be there's a lot of there's a lot of sharp money on that, but it just doesn't feel. I guess the thing that you like here is the possible return of Patrick Beverley, relieve some pressure from this offense, really get things going defensively for them on the perimeter. The thing that you don't like is this is not a good front court matchup for the Clippers. And if they are wanting to attack in the front court, this is not a good matchup. This is a good matchup for Austin Rivers and Patrick Beverley and Lou Williams, but not a good front court matchup for Blake and DeAndre, because the Knicks have just committed so much to stopping the paint and stuffing it up and soaking up every single rebound and trying to force the issue with offensive rebounds. So it's certainly a nice opportunity for the guard play here in LA, but not an excellent opportunity for the front court guys. But it is a nice spot for some of the Knicks players, and we'll talk about a couple guys there that should be in a good place. Washington versus Milwaukee, 207 total here. Washington playing yesterday against Toronto, back-to-back for them. Milwaukee favored by 5 at this point. Opened at 208. Its total is dropping, but it's moving towards Milwaukee, and I agree. Milwaukee at home here. Possibly no John Wall. He's banged up. He sat out yesterday. He was banged up with a knee. We'll see if he plays. This Washington team just is in trouble if they don't have John Wall. It's as simple as that. They hung tough with the Raptors last night, but ultimately Raptors got a hold of him. They just can't quite put up enough points without John Wall. They need John Wall and Bradley Beal out there. So we will see if he plays. If he plays, that, you know, maybe you see this line snap back to closer to 4 a little bit. People think the Wizards can cover, but I think this is a really good spot for Giannis, no doubt about it. Blazers versus Grizzlies, one of the lowest totals on the board, 196 here. It was open at 193, but it has moved in favor of the Blazers. People like the Blazers here to cover 2 points on the road against the Grizzlies. Grizzlies are struggling without Mike Conley, no doubt about it. They are certainly feeling that. They kind of got wiped by the Rockets the other night. And if you take Tyreek Evans out of the mix for them, which is not very difficult when you have, you just put your best wing on ball defender on him. Trevor Ariza took him out of that game. And he fought through every single screen they tried to set for Evans. And he just, you don't give him any space. He's not going to, he needs a little bit of space to work. And if he can't, he's not going to just create ISO 3 situations. You know, he wants to work off the picks, and he wants to work in, you know, in those types of spots. And Ariza just completely took that away by fighting through all the screens. It was a nightmare matchup for him. But in this situation, Reek had a really nice game in Portland. So he's interesting, but priced up here. But, you know, I think you got to attack the Portland side of this one. Interestingly enough, Memphis has been hemorrhaging scoring to the point guard without Conley out there. Chalmers just not quite the same defender. So we can attack that side of things, no doubt about it. OKC versus the Pelicans in New Orleans here. OKC are 2.5-point road favorites, 213 total in this one. Public is heavily in favor of OKC, and you have to agree, you know. The Pelicans obviously have the front court strength here, but they are also going to struggle with the wings and the shooters on the outside for the Thunder. And they really just probably will not have an answer, a reasonable answer for the shooting of the Thunder, which was exactly what happened with the in the Denver game there. Even with the return of Rajon Rondo, who is an interesting value play. Yeah, it certainly should be a good spot to go to some Thunder players tonight against a bad defensive team. Atlanta at San Antonio, 201 total. This total has dropped. It opened at 204. Obviously, heavy favorites there. San Antonio at home against a bad Hawks team. 9.5-point spread. San Antonio played for 105 and the Hawks for 96 points here. So the Hawks are seeing one of the lowest totals on the board. That's right. The Hawks should get the floor wiped with them here. The question about the Spurs, you like the Spurs from the matchup standpoint. Will they get the minutes? Will they absolutely destroy this team? And, you know, will it be over in 28? You know, you can't really trust Pop in a blowout. You don't like lopsided matchups for the Spurs because the minutes don't go where they're supposed to go. Celtics versus the Mavericks, 198 total here. This one has dropped as well. It's gone up, but it's one of the lower totals on the board. Celtics favored by 6.5 here. You know, Celtics defense has been phenomenal. Dallas's defense has been very bad and exploitable in a lot of very key areas. So we'll talk about a couple of players possibly from this game, but a very low total. Possibly down pace, Celtics on the road. You don't know how much you like all those things adding up, especially with some priced up assets in that offense. Denver versus the Kings, 207 total here. Denver favored by 6.5, and I got to say, I think that you probably think they can cover that. They have blown out some teams. They're certainly finding some offensive rhythm. And the Kings, you know, playing well against Portland in the last two games, a shift in what they're doing in structure. They're basically letting Scalabissé not play, and their Kostas Koufos is playing, which is, you know, just a difference in the way that they protect the rim. And it's made a huge difference in the way they play opposing centers and bigs. So it's been an effective change for them. They limited a lot of they will allow the peripheral scoring, but they will not allow the interior stuff. Problem is that the Nuggets have a number of guys on the perimeter who can hurt you and a number of guys in the interior. They just have a really balanced attack right now. And it's like, you know, every night you look up and some Nugget has scored 30 points, and you don't know if it's going to be Moutier or Murray or Jokic or, you know, it's a hard team to solve for fantasy, but an effective offense, because if one guy isn't going, the other guys are. So key injuries, just as you're aware, just so you're aware, Memphis has a couple, obviously, Mike Conley, Tyreke Evans actually also nursing a shoulder injury. He is a wait-and-see candidate. The Clippers, Patrick Beverley expected to be back, so that's an important one. Possibly Paul Millsap sitting for the Nuggets, which could be interesting. And then, of course, the backcourt injuries in Cleveland, opening up some extra minutes for a guy like, what's his name? Jose Calderon, which, you know, if you want to play Jose Calderon, let's not talk about it. Okay. We don't need to talk about it. The only other guys that I possibly, are going to sit possibly out, Tim Hardaway Jr. for the Knicks. He's got a foot, so we'll see. You got to keep your, there's a lot of injuries out there today. So keep your eyes on the, on the news feed, see what you got as far as, you know, different guys sitting out. There's going to be some value that opens up. And, you know, listen, you can flock to the value. You can get on some of this value, no doubt about it. But you don't always have to have it. Solid plays are not always the most valuable plays, the value plays are not always the best plays. right? Because offensive production shifts in usage to other primary players. And so you don't have to play guys, especially if they're not priced phenomenally well. I mean, a 3K guy, obviously, you want to go there. But you just have to be careful. I don't think there's always, it's not always the best answer. All right, let's move on to the player breakdown and give you guys a player pool to work for, work with today in NBA. Who do you love? All right, moving on to the top of the slate here. Lots of, you know, lots of studs to like. I actually think, okay, so there's a couple things here at the top. I mean, Russell Westbrook is just too inexpensive. That's really, really hard to get over. You know, bad defense in New Orleans, but he just hasn't really had to do a lot with his team shooting so well on the perimeter, and I don't know how much he'll do today. You assume that Jrue Holiday will guard him, which is not a plus matchup for point guards. It's not going to be Rondo. Holiday actually has the physical gifts that actually can guard him, and he's a plus defender. So my thought is Holiday will go to Russell, and you're going to see Rondo get hidden on a guy like, you know, Abrines or Roberson or something like that. And then you're going to see the wings, the size of, you know, guys like, you know, Etuan Moore and Dante Cunningham will probably have to try to guard the likes of, Dante Cunningham will probably have to try to guard Paul George, and AD will probably guard Carmelo, or Boogie will guard Carmelo, and then AD will play down in the paint against Adams. So Russ doesn't really have a great matchup, and it actually is interesting the way that these teams match up. So I think we'll talk a little bit more about Paul George, who I feel like is in a phenomenal spot. He just has the weakest of all of the defenders out there. So we'll see. But I mean, of course, Russ, that at that price is very hard to avoid in cash games. He just is so consistent. And if New Orleans has any chance of keeping this close, then Russ at that price with 30 plus minutes, then you really like that. So, but I will talk about Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard at this price, I feel like I've been talking a lot about Damian Lillard, and it's actually not unreasonable, because, you know, you think, like, normally we associate Damian Lillard with, you know, not necessarily a phenomenal cash game value, not necessarily someone we consider consistent. But in this situation, I think that Lillard is very, very much in play. He is 9-2 on FanDuel, 8-3 on DraftKings, which is just an absolutely crush price. I mean, 40 points for him right now has been a floor in the way that he has been playing lately. Memphis without Mike Conley has allowed some massive point guard performances. Darren Collison had a big one. Eric Gordon had a nice game against them the other night. You know, without him there, Chalmers just is not the same as a defensive. He's been very consistently over 33 minutes, nearly 20 attempts per game. In his last three, he's taken more shots. And what you see is the way that Stotts wants to work this rotation. And if you look at the minutes breakdown of the Blazers, you kind of see how Stotts does things. The only people he gives more than 30 minutes are McCollum and Lillard. They have the highest shot attempts. They have the most usage. Everyone else in the front court is now kind of on a trickle-down effect of 28 minutes or less. And they're rotating in. And I think what Stotts is saying is this gives us an attack dog style defense that never lets up rebounds and never gives up production anywhere else on the court, because we always have fresh legs. It's a really interesting idea. I think it's a really interesting way to run the team, but it really seems like that's what they're doing. You've seen Dame take more shots. You have a seemingly good defense in Memphis, really banged up right now, with the team in Portland who just struggled against, you know, Sacramento. I think this is an interesting kind of sneaky spot. And on DraftKings, I think Dame's price is phenomenal there, especially with his floor. No team allowing more actual just raw scoring to the point guard position than Memphis, just 27 points on 21 attempts. We love when Dame can get up 20 attempts, and that's when you really want him, and that's what he's been doing the last couple. So I think it's an interesting spot. People see him as volatile, and, you know, he really hasn't been lately. He's been very consistent as far as his role in this offense. So I really like Dame in this situation. I think it's shooting guard. The only option that you have at the high price point is Brad Beal, and if Wall sits, you really have to consider Brad Beal here, no doubt about it. He took 23 shots yesterday. 31% usage. That's amazing at that price. I mean, he is almost a lock and load. If John Wall sits, he's questionable right now. We'll see. He didn't have as many peripherals in that last game, which I know part of what I was talking about last week was that Wall is starting to see a bump in assists, which was really nice. Playing off the ball with John Wall, Beal was trying to see a bump in assists. I think the thing about Milwaukee is they are they don't rebound on the offensive end. They shoot and they evacuate in order to stop fast break points. Okay, so you take away a little bit of that appeal. They earlier in the season they were allowing a lot of scoring on the perimeter, and you know they don't have phenomenal wing defenders, right? They have Giannis, who's been playing big, but they have been playing better team defense with Bledsoe in there. I just think that Brad Beal, at the possibility of him getting up 25 shots and over 30% usage playing 35 minutes, you would have to like him at 7'9 and 8K. So maybe he facilitates a little bit more. Maybe he runs the point guard, tries to create a little bit more in that situation. You may get a little bump in assists. And he just has a really solid floor, especially with the usage gap that Wall leaves. At small forward, I think it's a Giannis day. I'm not going to lie, guys. I think it's a Giannis day for sure. He is 12K on FanDuel, and he is, I believe, 11.5 on DK. 11.5 on DK, 12K on FanDuel. I really have no problem with that price. I mean, this really could be a smash spot. They've struggled with the small forward all year long, and Otto Porter is a good defender, but I don't necessarily see Washington as an elite defense. They've been playing better, and I think John Wall has something to do with that. But they've also been playing some bad teams. I'm not really convinced that this defense really has what it takes to stop elite individual players. We saw LeBron smash against them. We saw Harrison Barnes smash against them. Dennis Smith smash against them. You know, they've had elite individual athletes perform in major ways. They don't have a serious rim protector. They don't have John Wall to create problems for the other team in transition. You are going to be able to push the ball in them. I think he's got a 53-point floor. I mean, and he had a string of rough defensive matchups. And the reality is these teams are really slow. And this is not a slow team. I mean, they will allow you to run. They run themselves. Washington will put up, you know, bad shots and let that go. He just played Dallas, Detroit, Memphis, the Lakers. But in the Lakers situation, he had 58 points, right? And that's a fast-paced team, but a good defense. The San Antonio before that. So last time he played a mediocre defense was the Cleveland game. He had 59 points. The issue that you're seeing, and I think that a lot of people have this concern, is as soon as Beverly came back, Bledsoe was introduced, you see a little bit of a reduction in usage. And you didn't see that 34%, 33% every single night like he was doing. You saw numbers like 27, 28, 25. And then even in the Dallas game, though, he had 30% usage. And you know, one of the things is that people know how to play him. They're learning how to play him. They know how to stuff. And I think they stuff the lane. And you see good defensive teams and good defensive coaches figure out, how do you limit this guy? Well, you slow him down in the open court, and then you just stuff the paint. Because that's it. He doesn't want to shoot, so you just can't let him get to the rim. The problem I just think this is a smash spot for Giannis. I'm not going to lie. Washington's coming off the back-to-back. This is, possibly no Wall. It's all there. He goes for 65 tonight, you would be like, yeah, I mean, this makes a lot of sense. LeBron, he is just it's so hard not to say that he's not going to hit 5X. I mean, his last three games, he's hit 5X each of these days. He's coming off nice rest. You know, he's going to be on the road against Detroit, but Detroit, one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference right now, playing really tough. He's going to have to play over 35 minutes. You have no point guard here. You have assist upside, ball handling upside, creator upside, all of that. You know, he's 400 cheaper than Giannis, and I think on FanDuel that makes a difference. You know, I think that that's kind of where you probably would play him over on DraftKings. You know, the one thing I will say is that he certainly has the, you know, the 3-point upside on DraftKings, which is part of the reason why you would play him on that platform. But, you know, Giannis obviously has the blocks and the steals there. So I think it's just kind of a question of process. You're going to want one of them. And if you can fill out your lineups in a way that, you know, you can fit either one of them in, I think you just kind of take whatever. But if, you know, LeBron, if that extra $400 lets you get to, you know, a play that you like more, then you stick with LeBron. I think that they're both 5X candidates tonight. No doubt about it. The reason you play Giannis is just because of the peripherals and the possibility of him exploding here. I don't think Detroit will let LeBron explode, but I do think LeBron is a cash game, darling, very, very secure. Power forward, tell me I'm not supposed to play. Tell me I'm not supposed to play Anthony Davis. Just say it with me now. Sean, don't play Anthony Davis in your cash games. However, I love AD. You guys know I love AD. I talk about him all the time. 10-8 here on FanDuel, 9-8 on DraftKings. That's just phenomenal. I mean, a 9-8 price on DraftKings. Listen, you're saying that he's going to score under 50 points. You're going to say, okay, I need you to go between 45 and 50. Great, fine. This man has a 60-point ceiling, a 70-point ceiling. And all I have to do to get him to value is 47, 48 points. I'm fine with taking that risk. There are few other players on this slate, especially on DK, who have the ability to do what he does. On 10-8 on FanDuel, I could see you start to question, okay? Because you are asking for, you know, 55-plus. But 45-plus, you're asking for almost 55. 45-plus is not a thing for Anthony Davis. It's just really, I mean, the Thunder are a very good defensive team, no doubt about it, but he's very, very cheap. And you got to think through the defensive process. Okay, I went through the 5-on-5 here, right? You have to think that Carmelo, he has to guard one of these guys. Like, they can't roll. There is not a lineup that the Thunder have where they have a two, but they don't have a traditional power forward on that roster. So you have to wonder who it is that guards him. You know, this is a phenomenal defense, and he is absolutely going to struggle to some degree. But if he's got Carmelo Anthony on him for a good amount of this game, give me a fucking break. What? Like, that's who Carmelo guarded Blake, and he did a great job and he shut him down. But you're telling me that he can't score 50 DraftKings points against Carmelo in 37 minutes of work? Come on now. That's silliness. That's ridiculous. That's for goddamn ridiculous. He can't score that because they don't have a traditional power forward. They don't have Sabonis anymore on this team. They've been playing Jeremy Grant at the four, and they're going to basically like say, hey, Jeremy Grant, you and Carmelo are basically the same size, about 6'7", 6'8", right? Go out there, throw your 5 fouls at him, see what you can do. And maybe Paul George switches on to him. I don't know. I mean, Paul George, who guards him? Who? That's what I'm saying, okay? Just go through that process for yourself and then shake your head and go, oh, I don't know. The one thing that you worry about is the Pels defense is terrible. So if this game gets out of hand, do you get him pulled a little bit early? I just don't know if it will. Of course, you always have the Anthony Davis injury risk too. All right, Ben Simmons, though, you guys know I use the FanDuel positional breakdown. Obviously, I know Ben Simmons is a point guard on DK, I really like this spot for Ben Simmons. He is a guy that I will absolutely try to fit into my lineups here tonight. I just think with Utah does not have the ability. They don't have the matchup, right? They don't have anybody to really match up with him in this situation. 10-3 on FanDuel, 9-2 on DraftKings. We know he has the ability to rack up more peripherals than anybody else. He's at home. Utah coming off the back-to-back here. He's got a 50-point ceiling. Now, he's priced for that 50-point ceiling. He's priced for that 40, you know, that's the issue, is the pricing is not very aggressive here. You know, and as far as pricing preference go, I really kind of almost prefer a guy like Chris Stapps or Anthony Davis, but I really trust Ben Simmons in this matchup. Utah, he smashed Utah last time out, and Embiid was out of that lineup, which reduces this team's efficiency, no doubt about it. Their offensive efficiency is also going to increase his usage. But we still know that him with Embiid is definitely the best version of himself. Utah, like I said, long road trip, back to back. They're flying, you know, they flew from Brooklyn on Friday night to Orlando, back up to Philadelphia before they go back home. The peripherals are there, man. He's got a 40-point floor. You know he has a 55-point ceiling. You just really trust him in this situation. And the thing that you love about Ben Simmons is he won't just have to score. A guy like Chris Stapps has to score to be valuable. And Ben Simmons will do everything. He will rebound, he will get assists, et cetera, et cetera. And there's really, and similar to the matchup, you know, for AD, who guards him? Who guards Ben Simmons? Jonas Jerebko? I mean, it's Thabo Sefolosha, probably, right? So, okay. That's fine. But Thabo Sefolosha in the open court, getting, you know, he's working off a screen, stuff like that. You're able to facilitate and create assists. I think Ben Simmons is in a good spot. Last one, Chris Stapps versus the Clippers. He's just cheap, and it's a good matchup for centers. They've been getting smashed by the center, which, you know, like, I don't know if it's just that DeAndre is just out of shape or what, but 27th in DVP to the center, struggling with the wings as well. You know, obviously it's probably going to be Blake on defense, but that doesn't really scare me. I mean, Blake Griffin has never defensively been a guy that really terrifies me, you know, especially in the regular season. So you kind of like KP. You kind of like KP to just go for a straight up, you know, 40 plus burger in this situation. He's had a very clear floor of, you know, 30 plus points. He struggled in the last couple games, no doubt about it. You know, it was a bummer to see him struggle in that Cavs game. That was a really good spot for him. He struggled in the Raptors game, but the Raptors have been putting it on a lot of people. What you really want from KP is the 30-point game. You want the massive scoring, which is not something he has done in the last couple games. And the problem with that is really the problem with the 30-point game for KP is that it relies on the shot. If he's hitting the three, he's in a great spot. If he's not hitting the three, then he's in trouble. Because he's going to do the same thing on the peripherals. He's going to get you a couple blocks. He might snag a steal. He's definitely going to get somewhere between 5 to 9 rebounds, you know, a handful of assists, 2, 3, 4 assists. Those are all going to kind of be right there. But when you see him pop, it's when he has that 30-point scoring game. And I think if you get no Tim Hardaway Jr., then you know his usage is going to be there for sure. You just hope that he can actually do the scoring. That's the concern. At center, you got to love Joel Embiid. There's a lot of studs there, power forward guys. You got to love Joel Embiid in this spot. I mean, it's the same thing I talked about with Simmons. I mean, give me a break. There is nobody. There's no Rudy Gobert. There's no Rudy Gobert on this team. They just had a tough loss. He's priced pretty well. 10-6 on FanDuel, 9-9 on DraftKings. That price on DraftKings is too cheap. You got to play him there. I mean, DraftKings pricing has been very aggressive. Like, you can fit people in, no doubt about it. So, you know, obviously, I know you have a smaller cap, but it's just been you got a lot of meat on the bone if you were paying attention to pricing here. On FanDuel, it's a little bit harder to like that 10-6 price tag. You want him to go over 50. Derek Favors off the back-to-back. He's a good defender. I just, you know, he doesn't have the size to match up with him. Derek Favors is 6'10", 6'8". You know, Embiid is, you know, what, 495 pounds and 7'9". You know, something like that. Some crazy numbers. He's like a Monstars. So you love Embiid in this situation, no doubt about it. The question you have is if they may keep him out. They may be careful with him because of that knee soreness. If you get any sort of yeesh feeling about the knee soreness, you don't have to do it. If he's priced up. The ideal situation is you fade him. He only goes for 35 because they, you know, it's they only play him 28 minutes because the knee soreness, and his price drops, and you get back on when he's fully healthy. That's the ideal scenario. Or the ideal scenario is he goes out and he smashes and he scores 93 points. That's also a possibility with Joel Embiid. It's just the Utah is still a solid defensive unit, but they lost to the Nets. They let Spencer Dinwiddie score 40 points on them. They are not the same team without Rudy Gobert. All right, moving on into the grout here. Moving on to the middle tier of pricing for all of these guys. You got to be interested, I think, in Kemba Walker at home. We're always interested in Kemba Walker at home. He's 8'3". I don't love the price, but I think the price is reasonable. I think the price is reasonable for him in a plus matchup here against a team that, you know, can allow scoring. They can allow scoring on the perimeter. The issue that you have is that Kemba really has basically a very limited ceiling. You saw his ceiling the other day. You saw the ceiling game. So you're chasing the ceiling game that he had in Chicago. His price is up. He's 8'3". You have to have him score over 40 points. A very clear 35-point floor. He will always have a 35-point floor, especially at home. You just kind of have to wait for the price to be right and the matchup to be right. However, I do like this team. I do like this matchup. If he takes the shots, they allow a lot of assists. They allow some three-point scoring. They were allowing it earlier in the year. I think the addition of Batum is a positive as far as this matchup goes. Jimmy's defense will go there. So Kemba's interesting. I don't think he's my favorite, especially if Kyrie at 8'5". I think Kyrie Irving is in an equally interesting matchup, even though there are some issues with it. He's 8'5 on FanDuel. He is, let me check his price on DK, 8'5 on DK. So I think the value then there is on FanDuel, and they're priced equally there. You kind of side with FanDuel here. Very, very clear floor for Kyrie, but is he going to go over 40? Not really. He's kind of doing the same thing that Kemba's doing, 35, 36 on the regular. Very, very consistent shot numbers, very consistent rebounds and assists. The thing that you have here is you also have a very nice matchup. You have a nice matchup with the point guard in Dallas. They've been struggling on the perimeter. That's the way to attack them. They're bottom 10 in DVP to the position. But you do have a low ceiling. I think it's either a spend up above 9K or it's a spend down below 6'5". You have a guy like Reggie Jackson, for example. Reggie Jackson against Cleveland, he is the most tilting person in the world, because at any moment, Van Gundy will just be like, yeah, he wasn't playing well, so I played Ish Smith for 45 minutes instead. But he's 6'2". He's in a good matchup. He's been pretty good, you know, in some games here, and at least a 20-point floor. Depending on how many minutes he gets, he can be better than that. So I think he's in an interesting spot, no doubt about it. Moving on to the shooting guard, Avery Bradley is a guy that I really feel like I'm locking in. He is 6K on FanDuel, and he is he is 6K on FanDuel, 6K on DraftKings. I love that price for him. You know he's going to get 35-plus minutes in this game. He's been one of the most consistent pieces of this Detroit team. Him and Tobias Harris and Andre Drummond, their minutes rarely change. It's the other guys around them that change. But those three are the core pieces, over 33 minutes a game. Avery's anywhere between 15 and 20 attempts per game, a few peripherals here and there. He'll add, you know, some assists, some steals, some rebounds, stuff like that. Very consistent if you look at the way that he's played. And the price is very good. I think the thing you want is you want the scoring to pop. The ceiling for him occurs when he can shoot the three. We've seen Cleveland be susceptible to the three, allowing open shooters. So I think it's a good spot for Avery Bradley, maybe to toss in an extra three or two, and then maybe you get a little bit of extra value. 30 points for him in that time is not much. You're talking about nice small margins in a good matchup. I like Avery Bradley here, no doubt about it. Donovan Mitchell right there in price as well. He is going into Philadelphia. Now, If you knew which night that Mitchell was going to score and Hood was going to score, you would be a very rich man. If you played Mitchell against the Nets and then you played Hood against the Magic, you were right. Or you could just stick to one and fade the other one and just kind of ride the wave. But that has been tough. Mitchell is 6'8". The thing about this is, okay, Mitchell has been playing point guard. All right, Mitchell has been playing point guard, and they've been staggering him with Hood. So Hood doesn't start. Mitchell starts alongside of Rubio. Then they pull Rubio and they move Mitchell over to point. You love that spot. The problem is when he's on the floor now, when he's on the floor as a starter, he's probably going to get Bob Cove. And by the way, his price on DraftKings is not really playable. His price on FanDuel at 6'6 is much more tolerable. But he's probably going to get Bob Cove. That's not good. You don't want him on Bob Cove. Bob Cove, obviously, much bigger, huge wingspan, fierce defender, shuts down guys on the dribble. The thing that I like is when he is running the point. And the reason is that if you look at the numbers, Ronnie Hood doesn't do anything in the peripherals department. I mean, he could score 20 points and that's it. And you were like, wait a second, you scored 20 points. That's great. Why did you only score 24 fantasy points? Because he got you one rebound and two assists and a turnover. You know, he doesn't really do that much. He maxes out at about four rebounds and two assists. He rarely has steals. He's not really doing the defense things. He's offense first right now. Whereas, as the point guard, when he gets those point guard minutes, Don Mitchell has been adding steals, assists, rebounds. You know, he's been getting upwards of 6-8 rebounds, 5-6 assists per game, which is why he has the ability to go for 40 rather than Hood, even when he scores, you know, he has to score 30 points to go for 40. So that's the kind of the differentiation there. I don't know. You got to make your decision. If it fits your process, pick the one you feel better about. But they're in a good spot. It's just hard to understand what you're going to do. If Lou Williams starts, I like Lou, but I have to think they may move him back to the bench if Pat Bev comes back and Austin Rivers goes to the two, but I don't know with the way he's been playing. So you got to keep your eye on that lineup because I would think with the way Lou Williams has played on this first unit, they may keep him in the lineup. I don't know what they're going to do with Patrick Beverley back. They may move Lou Williams to the three, which would be great. I mean, and he's 6K against the Knicks on FanDuel. That is just like fucking lock and load, man. This guy has shown like a 20-point floor all November, and he has one of the highest ceilings against a Knicks team that might be without Tim Hardaway Jr. Yeah, I mean, Boner City, USA, love that spot for him. You know, he only played 29 minutes against Charlotte. You got to keep an eye on what you feel like they're going to do with him. I don't know. I wish I knew what they were going to do, but the man has been on fire from a scoring perspective, and they just can't afford to not have him. And that's where you want to attack the Knicks is on the perimeter. So I like Lou Williams. I think people are going to be a little bit skittish to go back to him. Maybe a good spot to go back to him, especially in tournaments. Small forward, it's Paul George, man. I kind of love this spot for Paul George because, listen, here's what we got, all right, for the Thunder. All right, Westbrook is going to get Holiday. Good defender. He's a plus defender. Okay, you like that. Roberson and Rondo, go hide in the corner. Neither of you can shoot. Just do other stuff with the basketball. Rondo's price is very, very, very playable. Steven Adams versus DeMarcus Cousins. Cousins will probably abuse him, but Adams is physical. It should be, you know, there should be some ugly moments where they kind of like yell at each other, stuff like that. Anthony Davis versus Carmelo Anthony. We already talked about that. It's just kind of silly. I mean, what are you going to, you know, even if they let him wear the hoodie on the court, There's just no way AD doesn't take advantage of that matchup. And Paul George gets the lowly Dante Cunningham. If there's any, you just look at that starting lineup and they go, what do we want to do here? I don't know. I guess PG's got the best matchup. You want to score some points? Yeah, dude, I'll score some points. Let's do it. That's kind of all that I'm thinking here is, right? I mean, they're terrible on the wing. They just really are. And DeRozan has sliced them up. You know, you see the exterior shooter slice them up. Jamal Murray hit like 10 threes against them the other night. Paul George has been firing the three, just destroying the three. And he's 8'5". It's not the best price, but it's not a bad price if he becomes one of the primary options. And we've seen these games where Paul George basically has the best matchup on the board and they go to him and they just will let him shoot the hell out of the ball. And, you know, we saw it in the Dallas game, 57 points. In San Antonio game, he had 41, which is not bad. I mean, that's kind of where, you know, that's fine. You're good with that. I think his pricing is a little bit better on FanDuel than it is on DK. But DK, man, he's got that 3-point bonus where he's smashing, because if the 3-pointer goes, you know, you're in trouble. But yeah, I mean, taking in the last three, listen to these numbers on three. Now he's coming down, which I don't like. San Antonio, though, you can kind of understand that. 12 threes, 8 threes, 6 threes. So if they let him shoot the three in New Orleans, then you really, really have to like this spot for Paul George. And let me see real quick what it is that New Orleans allows in the way of 3-pointers per game. This guy's, they rank 27th in opponent 3-pointers made per game. So you get Paul George on a little bit of a hot streak, throwing up 10 threes. You really like that. You're betting on it. You're betting on a shooter. But shooter's going to shoot, man. Shooter's going to shoot. All right, moving on, power forward. It continues to be ridiculously deep down here. I think paying up for power forward is the move today in some combination, because there's just a lot of depth and there's a lot of opportunity costs and not playing some of these guys who might be highly owned. Blake versus the Knicks. The usage is there, yes, but it's Blake. I mean, anytime I can't get Blake right. If you feel like you have a good guess, a good beat on Blake Griffin, be my guest, but I don't. And I don't like this matchup, because one of the things that is for certain about Blake Griffin in this spot, for certain about New York, is that they don't really allow a ton of scoring in the paint. They are a phenomenal rebounding team. They're one of the best rebounding teams of the league. They attack the offensive glass, and they are eighth fewest points in the paint allowed. We saw him struggle with Charlotte. You know, we've seen him struggle. You're talking about, as far as just the way that they attack the paint, you're talking about a team in New York that's almost as good as, you know, like the same philosophy as like a Dallas. Dallas has that philosophy where they're going to pack in the paint. They're going to absorb rebounds. They're going to let you shoot the ball from the perimeter. They're going to basically reduce the number of high efficiency attempts that they let you have for free. You know, Memphis, Dallas, San Antonio, this is how these defenses are built. And this is kind of how Hornacek designed this team. Clog up the middle, be big, get all the rebounds, don't allow second chance opportunities, and get second chance opportunities. Take advantage of our size down there. So what is Blake? I mean, this team doesn't allow scoring in the paint. When we have seen Blake do well, I think it has to be because of scoring in the paint, or else you're relying on his mid-range and you're relying on his newfound three. And, you know, I don't know if I want to rely on that. I'm like, that doesn't really interest me. He struggled against Charlotte. Sure, he had a great game against Cleveland. It's one of the worst defenses in the league. Are the Knicks a good defense? Not really. You know, they're dead average in the middle of the league here. Well, they're not dead average. They're bad. They're 24th in defense overall. So you like that. But they're slow. They have a slow pace versus Cleveland has a much faster. I don't know, guys. Come on. I don't like talking about Blake. Tilts me already. It makes me think that I have to roster him. LaMarcus Aldridge, however, makes me comfortable. However, I don't like his minutes. Atlanta has been just one of the worst teams in the paint, like allowing tons of scoring in the paint. Aldridge really should not have any issues scoring against, you know, these fucking clowns. But, he, you know, 30% usage, over 20 points in his last couple games, just basically taking all of the hater articles about what happened to LaMarcus Aldridge. Is he worth it? Is he even a good Spur? And just burning them in a giant bonfire of mid-range efficiency. You know, the question that you have is how many minutes does he get? How many minutes does he get? How many shots does he get up? You know, he smashed in that Dallas game because he got up 21 attempts. However, 27 minutes on the back-to-back in Minnesota, okay, didn't get a lot of run there. And OKC struggles, only puts up, you know, only puts up, he puts up 26 points, but he doesn't really get a lot of the peripherals, no steals, no blocks, anything like that. Now, Atlanta just sucks. You're talking about a bad defensive team, teams like that, that he has, you know, destroyed. Like Milwaukee was bad versus the center, and he did really good work against them. Clippers bad against the center, did very good work against them. Indiana bad against the center. Orlando bad against the center. You're talking about nearly 40-point performances there. The question is he worth $8,600 on FanDuel? I don't know if he is. I think you're still paying for that 50-point game. But I love this matchup. Love this matchup. The problem is that they could literally win this game by the third quarter. I mean, they beat the Thunder without Kawhi in Oklahoma. This is the Spurs, guys. This is the Spurs. So, I don't know. He's got a 30-point floor. The question is does he go for over 40? It's kind of Blake-ish for me. I just trust LaMarcus more than I trust Blake. I just don't like their prices that much. I do like Aaron Gordon's price. Pacers allow a shit ton of scoring in the paint. Solid pace, highest total on the board. He has struggled, but this is a good bounce back. We know he has 40-point potential. He is kind of on the opposite side of the LaMarcus pricing, right? This is when you want to play LaMarcus at 7,500. I think Aaron Gordon has a very similar range of outcomes today against the Pacers. I really like this spot for him. I think, you know, the difficulty is that there are some spots that are really, really, really good, right? There are some spots that you want to attack on the Magic. Vooch being one of them. Vooch is definitely a guy that you want to attack. Thaddeus Young, a little bit longer, a little bit more athletic here, is that a good spot to attack? I'm not really sure. You want to attack, for example, we want to attack Elfrid Payton. I think Darren Collison is in a very good position here. Aaron Gordon, to me, I think it projects really well as a cash game play. You're asking him to go for over 35. That's not crazy with the minutes that he's been getting and how he's kind of struggled lately, but he could add, you know, with a pace-up situation, you could add a couple points. He's played some really good defensive teams and some tough matchups. Okay, you're looking at Denver. You deal with Millsap. That's not fun. Golden State, Draymond. That's not fun. Okay, and in some of those games, he didn't really play all that many minutes. Portland, best rebounding team in the league. Great athletic fours. They have five different guys that they can run out there that match up perfectly with Aaron Gordon. And then Utah, they just smashed them. And so he played 29 minutes, but he had 30 fantasy points in those 29 minutes. So you see a situation, you see a path. What I'm saying is you see a path to 35 points here for him. Over 35 points because, you know, you have, for example, plus matchup with the Suns. He had 39 points. You know, there's situations where he has had, you know, some great games. The question is, will he do it here? I like the price, I guess. But I don't like the price necessarily more than Tobias Harris. I think Tobias Harris is in a great spot here against Cleveland. He's going to rack up some of the most minutes. He does it all. He rebounds. He gets assists. He does steals. He does blocks. You know, he's just in a great spot to fill the stat sheet, and he is just so consistent. Not so consistent. That's not fair. I don't want to lie to you guys because he cannot. Like, there are times when he just won't score, and if he doesn't score, then that's a really big problem. And he's cooled off from the scoring perspective, and so it's very easy to project him to say, you know, maybe he doesn't do all the scoring. The thing that you like about him is that with the minutes that he offers, if he gets you an extra steal or an extra block or maybe the shot is falling, and he really pops. You know, he gets you 40-plus points because he can be in a really good spot. And he just played against a bad defensive team in Minnesota, and he proved it, that he is capable of doing that. So you like him here. The price is not perfect, but I think that the matchup is. I like the matchup a lot. At center, it's interesting. Vooch and Turner are both in a really good spot against each other. No team allowing more scoring in the paint than the Pacers. They've bottom five in DVP to the power forward and the center. Vooch does most of his scoring in the paint. So you like that for him. Miles Turner on the opposite side will get Vooch, who's just been destroyed lately by opposing centers. And Miles Turner has a massive athletic edge on him, be able to pull out on the perimeter and create from the outside in. And you like that spot a lot for him. The other guy, Andre Drummond, though, I mean, I don't know how many times I'm going to go back to this guy, but you got to love Andre Drummond against Cleveland in a situation where he should be able to do, 95% of the rebounding. I mean, he has no fewer than 15 rebounds in the last couple games. And if he scores, and to be clear, like, Cleveland will allow him to score inside the paint, this could be a really, really, really nice spot. I mean, they are currently Cleveland 26th in points allowed inside the paint. The problem is that Indiana allowed even more, and he tilted us into oblivion by not scoring in that game. Only 11 points in that game against Indiana, which was really, really, really frustrating. So the rebounds are there, and that's what creates the floor for Drummond. But I think Vooch and Turner are both, in a really nice spot. Turner, to me, is more interesting just because I think he has more. Although, I don't know. I mean, we saw what Marc Gasol did to Miles Turner. And if Vooch gets it going, we know that Vooch has a 40-point floor, no doubt about it. I mean, this is not a nobody. This is Nikola Vucevic. So Vooch has been, slightly underperforming lately. I think he's in a really good spot tonight to hit value for the first time in a while. Value, 5K and 5.5 and below. I think you have to look at a guy like Patty Mills in the Atlanta game. Atlanta, very bad against the point guard. Patty Mills has been playing really well. The same goes for Ish Smith, though. Kind of a limited minutes point guard, not necessarily a starter, but he's been really good when he's out there. And you have a really good matchup against terrible Cavaliers defense. Obviously, that seems like a really nice spot for Ish, who's only 4K. I think the word is out, though. I mean, people know that he can take up to 25 minutes production for Jackson. They kind of can split the backcourt sometimes, and that's not ideal for Jackson, but it is for a guy like Ish Smith, who's only 4K. I mentioned Darren Collison. I love Darren Collison in this spot against Orlando. Orlando has been bad. Collison has been coming on lately. I think he took a back seat for a little while, and then I think they asked him to be more aggressive after the three-game spurt where he didn't really do any scoring. And all of a sudden you see him doing way more scoring in the last three games against Memphis, Detroit, and Miami. And Detroit and Miami, I mean, let's be clear, those are pretty solid defenses. Now you have a really plus matchup against a bad defense in Orlando, bad point guard defense there. You love this spot for Collison. I think it's a good one. He's one of my favorite cash game point guards here. 30 minutes for him. Really good spot. I mentioned Patty Mills earlier, but by the way, DeJounte Murray behind him will probably get minutes. You could do a Spurs bench lineup, by the way, for GPP value. If you wanted to, go all studs and then try to bank on the Spurs blowout, if you get the Spurs blowout right and you get DeJounte Murray and Patty Mills in there, DeJounte Murray and Bryn Forbes in there, you could be really happy. Which brings me to shooting guard. Bryn Forbes will play minutes if they blow this team out. He will. He's really cheap. People haven't really paid attention to this kid, but Pop really likes him. He's a shooting guard. He can shoot the lights out. He's been gets minutes on back-to-backs. He's good. And, you know, Pop will leave him on the floor because he trusts him. And so you see these minute spikes for him in situations where they either have a blowout or they're on a back-to-back. Pop, you got Pop's trust. That's a good thing. Alec Burks probably will play a little bit extra run in this Philadelphia game. Even though Rubio is back, Burks still in the rotation, you know, with a thinner rotation. So you have to think that Burks still gets a little bit of run. He didn't get quite as much run in that Orlando game, but he did score 10 points across 24 minutes. He shot poorly. I mean, he shot terribly. He shot 1 of 10 from the field. So, you know, an 0 for 6 from the arc. I mean, the guy has not made a 3 in 3 days. So all he has to do is start making a 3, and he's going to pop for 20 points. I don't know what else you want me to say. he's going to get the bench in Philadelphia, which, by the way, let's look quickly at something. I'm going to see who allows the most bench scoring. Bench scoring allowed. That would be the Pels and the Nuggets. The Pels and the Nuggets allowing massive bench scoring. And then Phoenix, because Phoenix, of course, they allow the most scoring to everybody. Atlanta, by the way, I'm telling you, that Atlanta bench, that San Antonio bench lineup, very intriguing. The Memphis bench, obviously very good. Detroit bench, very good. The Cleveland bench, actually not allowing a lot of scoring. That's interesting. Way to go, starters. You guys are really, really mailing in the defense, letting the bench try to catch up for you. Austin Rivers is getting to be too cheap. I don't know what his role is going to be with the return of Patrick Beverley, but he's getting to a point where now you can look at his price and you can go, okay, 4-7. I know you have not been playing very well, but that's a really, really, really good price for him. You know, in a matchup with New York that is pretty solid. I mean, the question that you have is he worth paying? If he gets those 34 minutes, I mean, that's worth paying. And he just hasn't shot well. 13, 18, 14 attempts, but only hitting 3 in 2 of those games. You know, if he shoots a little bit better, then you have a good night on your hands. It's a lot of these shooting guards, you kind of want to aim for the return, right? They're very volatile positions because they're shooting dependent. At small forward, I think I'll look at the Spurs again against those Atlanta wings. And you know, I have no problem looking at Kyle Anderson at 5,200. He's a guy who will get minutes. He will get run, even in a blowout situation. They will, you know, they're not going to leave him on the court too long, but he's young enough that, you know, Pop will let him run for a little while. And he can take advantage of a good matchup. And I think this is a really good matchup for him. If he gets 30 minutes, then you should see about a fantasy point per minute from this guy. No doubt about it. Stanley Johnson, however, a really, really good spot against this terrible, terrible defense in Cleveland. He'll start. The issue has been the minutes. I mean, they were way down, and then all of a sudden he pops against Minnesota and goes out and gets 38. Now, if that was, I guess it was the defense. Hopefully he does it again, but maybe not 38 minutes on the back-to-back. I don't know. But you do like that he has the trust of a seeming trust of Van Gundy. I don't mind Boyan either. He's another shooter that, you know, if he hits, it's just destruction. You know, he's getting 34 minutes in the starting unit in the last 2 games. He could really shoot the lights out against this Orlando team. And we've seen them allow the 3, you know, a guy like Tim Hardaway just absolutely shredded them at the 3. So, you know, you could definitely look at that. Similar, Domantas Sabonis, he just is so efficient with the minutes that he gets. It's unbelievable. Like, he only gets like 28 minutes, but like, he really rarely ever misses, you know, 20 plus points. He's been phenomenal. And if he, for whatever reason, gets a little bit of extra run, I mean, listen to these last 4, 27, 23, 26, 26, and he hasn't played more than 24 minutes. I mean, the guy is a fantasy point per minute. He's phenomenal off the bench. And I think that this is a good position for him again against, you know, again, a team in Orlando that's just really not that good defensively and a very bad rebounding team. And Sabonis is a phenomenal rebounder, 5'4". He's at a decent price. So that's what I'm looking at the power forward. As far as value centers, again, you know, on FanDuel, I'm not a huge guy for paying down for center, but I do think that there is some possibility here. You know, if we have, we have Paul Millsap out, which means you're going to have Mason Plumlee slide into the four position here is my guess. Against this Sacramento team. That's really pretty nice. It's hashtag nice. If he gets 30 minutes, you kind of have to play. And I feel like people will automatically lock in Plumlee in this situation at 3,500. And you may have to do that, guys. You may just have to go Plumlee and then just pay up all over the place, which is kind of fun. Actually, that's what we're going to do. Let's go over to the lineup lock, and let's figure out how we're going to throw together an NBA lineup today. All right, so I mentioned Plumlee. Let's just start right there. Why the F not? Right? I mean, why wouldn't we just play some Miles Plumlee down there at center? I think point guard is kind of a high-low position for me tonight, so maybe I'll take one of those guys, you know, who's a little bit higher priced, and then I'll take one of the lower priced five. I really like Darren Collison, I think, is one of my guys here tonight. So actually, let's luck in Darren Collison. Maybe I'll actually do a Darren Collison. Maybe I'll go double mid range here. Well, let me think about that for a second. Hold on. Add small forward. Let's get Giannis in there, no doubt. I think he's in a great position here. Let's pay down on shooting guard. You know, if we have to pay for Bradley Beal, I'd like to, but I'm going to try to drop below this 6K price range. Or maybe I'll just go double 6Ks here. Maybe I'll go, an Avery Bradley, Lou Williams situation. Let's see how that feels. That may change, but I like those two guys in cash games. If they get their minutes, that's an interesting spot. I think you could do a similar thing at power forward tonight. But there's a lot of power forwards that I like. Let me see if I can get a value point guard in here. I need a little bit of a salary flexibility. Patty Mills, you are intriguing. Oh, the other point guard is George Hill. George Hill is a $4,500 point guard who has been getting a ton of run lately. Minutes are on the way up, and he's getting Denver. So, yeah, let's actually do that. Let's go to George Hill. I was going to tempted to go to Ish Smith, but George Hill seems to be getting more and more love. Okay, George Hill, and then at small forward, I'm going to try to go down into the value here a little bit. I think that Kyle Anderson is a guy who is in a good spot and cheap enough that I would like to play him, but I also really don't mind Stanley Johnson. Actually, let's take Stanley Johnson here. Let's see how that feels. Stanimals. Stanley Johnson, everybody. And now I have 9K at my power forward position, which is kind of where I wanted to be. So let's say if I go with Aaron Gordon, oh, I'm $100 off from Anthony Davis. But maybe then that's Ben Simmons, right? I could do a Ben Simmons. But let's actually, hold on, let me see. I might be able to do, I can do Kristaps and Blake, which is pretty sexy. That's pretty nice. I can do a Simmons and Gordon, which is nice, and that leaves me $400 extra dollars to kind of spend up in some other spots. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, that's really interesting. But I think that's kind of how I'm going to try to approach it today, guys. We'll see. This is obviously very much in flux, but we got a Darren Collison, George Hill shooting guard, is Avery Bradley and Lou Williams. Giannis and Stanley Johnson, Ben Simmons, Aaron Gordon, and Mason Plumlee. That's where I'm at. I think Mason Plumlee is probably the value du jour of the day. So go ahead and lock him in all formats, because you get no Paul Millsap. We know that they're going to run bigs, and we know Sacramento is susceptible to the bigs. So should be a decent spot for Plums out there. Plum Monster. All right, guys, that's it for me. Hey, schedule upcoming tomorrow, NFL, Wednesday, NBA. Good luck. I will talk to you later.